Pump it up a bit. Test 1, 2.
Pump it up when you really need to. Pump it up.
I am recording.
You don't really need to be on the...
We need to turn it. You're like 11. We need to like get it down to 7.
So I was gonna say 7's just about right. I think six and a half, seven.
Exactly.
We are not gonna be able to match whatever that is.
Whatever you going on. Whatever you on or whatever you're doing. That's real name.
I liked him better when he was on the chemo.
I know, it was nice.
Hurtful.
No, I'm happy for you and everything. I'm
don't
just thinking about, I'm thinking about Josh and me right now, okay? We thought about you for months, all right? So now it's about us for a change.
Fair enough.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships, and tune in to this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Josh's delay just makes it sound like he's just a little bit drunk and he's just trying to play catch up.
Hey, it's 1 o'clock. You never know.
That you know.
You have no idea what I have to do, the Gordian knot I have to untie when this is done. Just so people understand, if it's not clear, we do this on Zoom, but the Zoom audio is just, it's bunk. It's terrible.
Yeah.
So what we do is we record in each of our separate places, and then I take that audio from you two and my audio, and I separately put those three strands of spaghetti together. And weave together a lovely fettuccine Alfredo.
A tapestry. A tapestry.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like repairing a ground hamburger after it's been torn apart.
And depending on the, you know, the speed of the internet that day, at that hour of our individual Wi-Fi situations, it's got to be quite a nightmare. But look, man, that's why you're making the big bucks as the chief, the grand poobah, the A number one on the...
Wait a minute. I think maybe I didn't negotiate properly.
That's why you get all those Vienna sausages, buddy.
That's right. That's why you get the old Milwaukee N.A.
Yeah, exactly. I'll see those showing up on my doorstep.
I do believe that you do get the bigger share of the merch.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right? Well, that's not the case this week. Is it?
Well, didn't tell you you had to turn around and buy us the merch that you're making money off of getting the merch.
Is there something you guys want to talk about
today? I
feel
like maybe you did this as some type of tax thing. This is like a tax write-off for you, is it?
Well, you teased it last week, and we did. I mean, you didn't tease it. You outright told us. You didn't exactly make it a big surprise. But yes, Josh and I both received the beautiful, fashionable, and practical.
Yes.
Your artificial friend's coffee mug. I mean, admittedly, it was the smaller size, but still.
But would you like the bigger one? Because the bigger one, I can't imagine using that as a matter of practical use.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed my body size lately, but when I hold the regular one up, it looks really small against me. The bigger one would have made me look a little bit normal, but I appreciate it. It's the thought that counts, Andy.
No, I like the smaller size. I think it's the perfect volume for my hot beverages.
I did have that sort of thought once, Josh.
The sentence I've never said before.
I did have that thought when I pulled up at an intersection years ago, and I saw someone working on the stoplight. A guy was up on a lift, and he was, you know, standing next to the stoplight. And I'm like, good God, that stoplight is like 6 feet tall. I had no idea, you know, for perspective, when you're driving around, it doesn't occur to you. Those stoplights are huge. Yeah, you know, those lights are like 2 feet across.
You know what's weird is go out on a freeway and look at the freeway lines. Those things are like 10 feet long, but because,
oh, I'm sure.
Because you're going like 65, 75 miles per hour, they look like little dashes.
That's the thing that I was thinking, though, is that the guy was standing next to it. I'm like, my God, that stoplight is actually 6 feet from bottom to top. But then I had the thought, wait a minute. What if he is impossibly small?
Yeah, what if he's a midget?
And that's how he got the job to work on the stoplights, because he's really tiny.
Well, why do you got to be tiny to work on a streetlight? They have tiny light bulbs or something?
I was confused in the moment. I just didn't know what to think.
But then they got to go get him like tiny little gloves and a tiny little outfit. It's like, well, right. is this worth it?
Maybe he's not saving money at that point. It's true. It's true.
Those little guys can just shimmy up that thing, yeah. I think.
These are all practical thoughts you're coming up with. You know what?
Shimmy up.
Yeah, they can just scoot up there like
they have magical
like little
powers and they can fly up the.
Yeah, like a monkey. Elves just in tinky, 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 tinky. There they go.
That's why I always see them running around the rooftops.
They're tiny, tiny squirrel hands. They're just running up the.
You can go ahead and send all your comments to Andy, one of three Andy Chanley accounts. Go ahead.
Fellas. I don't know if I believe in anything anymore if it weren't for my cat dad mug.
Oh, yeah. Wow. The cat daddy's back.
Just drops that bomb in the middle of a podcast.
I thought you might like to see the cat dad mug.
It's sweet.
Yeah, that's true. We actually hadn't seen it before.
I kind of liked it better when I had imagination in my brain.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now that I've seen it, I'm like,
it's a little disappointing. Yeah.
Although it does say cat dad, which is...
It does say,
he confirmed that he actually does own it. So I'll give him that much.
I believe it's been embossed in 14-karat gold, if I'm not mistaken. It's got that shimmer on it.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. awesome.
Mm. All right. And you seem awfully proud of it.
Yeah.
Well, I am. I got to tell you, the big thing on my mind right now is how happy I am that fall is in the air. Since the last time we talked, we did have our little deluge of rain and Larry, please in a moment, tell us if there were any deleterious effects of that in your neck of the woods, because you're much further north than we are. But, it's just exciting. As we're taping this, it is the day before Halloween. And Halloween is in the air. Out on the front lawn, you know, we have our decorations. The kids, we got one of those little styrofoam gravestones. Ooh. And in front of it,
what's the name on it? It says like,
I don't.
It's got to be something funny, right?
Yeah, some pun, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you want me to go check?
Can you?
can we take a break? No, I'm
you
serious.
You can't ask that if you're not going
to. I genuinely want to know.
Me too.
Hold please.
I hope it's, I wish it were like spooky hole music.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, you know what? I hope it's just something that's just not even worth, like, it's just some terrible pun that it's just not even worth repeating.
If it's a terrible pun, then it's definitely going to be worth
it. Well, and plus, you know, if it's at the Chanley house, then you know that there's a 1,000% chance that it's going to be a terrible pun. Right.
Because he chose it for that.
Right, yeah. Exactly. He wheels and deals in terrible puns. So,
yeah,
you know,
true.
it's going to be something nasty.
Yeah. He sees something and it's like, oh, man, I wish I'd thought of that one. Yeah.
I'm going to write that one down right here and bring it up in the podcast. That's a good Halloween pun.
I'm trying to think if I even have seen one recently that I could just like guess at what it might be. I just finished reading Pet Sematary, by the way, just for Halloween.
That's one of the ones that I'm a huge Stephen King fan, and that's one of the ones I've never read because I saw the movie, and that little kid scene is just too, it's too much. If there's any movies that make me, that are too much, it's that little kid funeral scene, and I'm like, that's too much, I can't deal with that.
He cites that one as the one he thinks is the scariest one he wrote, and that's why I wanted to read it. And it's a mind freak there.
Really?
Toward the end. Welcome back, Andy.
Yeah, Andy.
And we're back. Or did we ever leave?
You listen, you tell us. So what do you got for us?
So the name on the tombstone. Uh-huh. Are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
The name on the tombstone is Trick or Treat.
Oh, God damn it.
It's not even a name.
I know. Oh. But here's the thing.
Are they lamenting the demise of an age-old tradition? It's like, so long, trick-or-treaters.
Can you run out and get another one?
Maybe it is the tomb of the unknown ghoul, and they don't know if it's a guy that was named Trick or a guy that was named Treat.
Yeah. I don't
buy it. It's a possibility.
You don't know.
But I'll tell you this.
Couldn't they just said Rick or Treat, and then there you go?
Oh, yeah.
I did it.
Why'd we waste time having you go out there and look at that? That's a complete waste of time.
If you're at that point in time and you're down looking at that, I mean, do you need to be told trick or treat? Well, like, what am I doing here? Holy shit. I don't know. Oh, here. Trick or treat. Okay. Trick or treat.
Oh, yeah. It's a reminder for the dumb kids. That's what you're saying.
You know what? I was trying to tell you how I was getting into the spirit of fall, and now you're just shitting on everything.
No. Look, by the time people are hearing this, again, we keep dealing with stuff that's in the past. Yeah. So let's admit it. Halloween is over. We've moved on. It might as well be Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy Mother's Day. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Coming down the chimney down.
Hey, no joke. I heard I was walking down up my alley over here this week, and I heard one of these Spanish stations, the guy's going, "Jose, he's a weirdo." And in the background, I heard, what's the Mariah?
By the way, that Mariah was dead Carey. On Spanish.
I'm pretty sure that was in bad taste.
No one will find that offensive. That was one step away from Ching Chong Ching Chong.
I was doing the telemundo guy.
It wasn't even a step away.
But in the background, they had the Mariah Carey Christmas song going. And I'm like, it's not even Halloween yet. Let's get it.
But I tell you, by the time this airs on Thursday, a week from now, Coast will likely be kicking off their Christmas music.
Oh, I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it.
That's my guess. I'm going to say the 11th or 12th.
I remember the last 2 months that the sound was on the air, and one of the things I went into to our program director Dave Beezing, and I said, "Hey, I know it's October, it's like the third week of October, but we're going away next month, and can I switch to Christmas music?" And he's like, "For how long?" I'm like, "For the rest of it, man." And he's like, "You can do it for an hour."
I remember doing it for an hour.
So we flipped over to all Christmas songs, and I just wonder if anybody over at Coast was shitting their pants just a little bit. They got us. They scooped us before Halloween. Bastards.
In the middle of the pandemic, my program director and I hatched a plan there were two things. One, there was a station in our company that was about to flip format, but they wanted to stunt for a while. They wanted to do like, I don't know, a few days or a week or something, but it was in July, and we were pitching hard to make the station go all Christmas. And it was during the pandemic, and it was just like, look, people might actually be into it for a week, you know, just because things are so crappy. It's July. People have been cooped up forever, still not getting back out there. Just make it all Christmas music.
I remember July 2020 when I had that same comment in a different light. I was saying, man, you know, the year we've had so far, I just can't wait for Christmas. And Josh said, "Yeah, can't wait to be all cooped up in the house with my family for a while for a change."
That's right. Like, that's right.
He did put it in perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Josh will shit on anything. Just give him a chance. What I was saying a little bit ago was I was just feeling the fall spirit today. It's starting to get crisper.
I agree.
And out there in front of the trick or treat tombstone that you both shit on equally.
No, it's sweet.
There are these hands, these zombie arms coming up out of the ground with shackles on.
Ooh.
Don't ask me how they got the shackles on after they got out of the ground. I have no idea. They must be ghost arms. But anyway, there were leaves. There were leaves all around it. And it just felt like, you know, being back in the back east where, you know, this time of year, there's just, you know, 6 inches of leaves everywhere. It just felt like fall and felt great.
Yeah.
That's all I had to say.
Yeah, I
just wanted to say something nice for a change.
You've been outside today? It's like 80.
It is.
I just came back from a soccer game and sweat my balls off.
Oh,
what are
seriously?
You talking about? Yeah.
Oh, it's not here, man. I thought maybe it was because you guys are having similar weather. It is overcast and chilly and gray and like misty here.
I love it.
No, it's sunny.
It really does feel like the fall here.
Yeah, it's like 80-some degrees outside. Oh. I was out there taking down the pool.
Ooh.
You know, we've got the
annual fall tradition.
The annual fall tradition. And I am, okay, so that pool is up. Everybody's ready. Everybody's out there. Everybody's into it. Everybody's in the pool. Everybody's happy. When it's time to put that pool up or take that pool down, I'm the fucking Maytag repairman. Yeah. I'm the loneliest person in the world. Nobody wants to have anything to do with it. The only one that comes around, is Tuxie the cat.
and the ghoul in your front yard.
if there is any piece of cloth or a tarp or anything that is laid out flat anywhere on our property, he will seek it out, and he will piss on it. And sure enough,
that's the deal with cats.
So I had to clean. You know, you got to spray all of the mossy green, you know, algae looking shit off the thing and clean it, and it all gets wet. And then you have to find a way to hang this big pool insert somewhere so that it can drain. Out in the backyard, but if he finds any corner of it laying flat on the ground, he'll piss on it. So I've got to look out for that.
Cat piss. Why does cat piss smell so bad?
It's just
that's the
nasty.
Worst of all the pisses in the world is cat piss.
And that was Laura when we went to last time we went to Lake Arrowhead at the beginning of the year, right? We always try to go up there to find some snow to get the kids on and so forth. And we forgot shampoo. So we zip into Stater Brothers or whatever to go in and get some shampoo. And she finds this all organic, natural shampoo. Sukina, I think is the name of it. And she buys the shampoo and she's like, oh, I just love this shampoo. This shampoo is so good. It just, you know, makes my hair feel great. Love the shampoo. The only downside is it kind of smells like cat piss.
Jesus. the only downside.
At first, it was like tea tree and something. You know, the flavor they put on it. But then I couldn't not smell cat piss.
Right.
Every time I did, I'm like, will you get rid of the fucking cat piss shampoo? I feel like I'm putting it on my hair every time. So cat piss is the worst.
It's nothing to mess around with. It's definitely... when it's there, you need to stop everything you're doing and figure out how you got to pull all your cat dad senses together, figure out how do I get rid of this cat.
Yeah, that's coming from a cat dad.
I mean,
yeah.
If a cat pisses in your house enough, then you got to move. you just got to sell the house. Or you have to come them in, bring people in and burn it down and start all rebuild it up. Yeah.
Oh, it's just, or you've got, like, I remember having to stay, briefly I stayed with a program director of a station that hired me because they ended up only being able to afford to put me up for a couple of nights in a hotel. Didn't know that before I took the job. And they had cats everywhere. But that apartment, it just had that ammonia knock you down when you walk in the door. Smells like there must have been 19 litter boxes around the place and whatever else they were using to try and clean up after that. They were completely indoor kitties all the time. And it was horrendous. It was just like I would go to sleep at night with try to put like something over my mouth and nose just so it was like, oh man. And they were just like used to it. Didn't even
I had to do the same thing. It was like in Austin or Houston or something. We were touring through there when we were staying at somebody's cousin's or whatever's house. And we get in, walk in that day, and I like walked in the house and it was just like somebody just bitch slapped me with cat like urine just right in the mouth. You're like, you know, and you try not to be rude or anything because this is where I got to stay. And I had to sleep on the couch and like I woke up in the middle of the night, was just covered in their cat hair. And I'm not even allergic. The guy, the drummer in the band's allergic to cats. He walked in and then just went poof, and like puffed up. And it was like, no. Walked right back out and like went and got a hotel room. But I felt bad for him because. Yeah, but me and the guitar player spent the night there, and they were gone in the morning. We both just looked at each other and like, let's just get our stuff and stand outside for a couple hours.
Air out.
Yeah, it was gross. Yeah. Cats.
Well, enjoy your kitties.
Yeah. Cat dad.
Thanks a bunch. Enjoying that. Yep. I hope to get the pool into its coffin before the end of the day and have that behind me. And now I just got, here's the great thing. I've got this giant 12 foot in diameter circle of
dead grass,
dead, just dirt and green slime stuff.
Yeah. What you got to do, put a fence around it and you build yourself an octagon, have the kids fight in it. Just hose it down, buddy. Keep it good money. Build a little fence there. Put pads on the top of the fence. And whenever they get annoying, throw them into the octagon. Say last one out wins. It.
For Christmas, yeah. Each kid can open up a present under the tree, yep. And it's a pair of boxing gloves. And I'm like, hey,
no,
here you go.
Don't even do that.
You say there's a bike out on the back porch. Who wants it more?
There you go.
Thunderdome. Thunderdome.
It's weird that popped into Josh's head so fast. Like you said, circle in the yard, and he was like, octagon, make him fight it out. Like a split second later.
What else Josh are you going to do with a circle in your yard?
Josh is pushing to have a second kid just so he can have that kind of battle going on, I think.
Some people want basketball teams. I'm like, I just want to see him fight all day.
Maybe pentagram.
Ooh, that's a good one. It is the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pagan thing.
Put your little grave out there and, you know.
Yeah, my trick or treat grave.
Trick or treat, that would be terrifying. See a pentagram in a grave that says trick or treat. Like,
yeah.
Are we worshiping the devil or are we having a trick or treat? I don't understand what's going on here.
So I realize that as everybody's hearing this, maybe you're right, Larry. Maybe they're over. Halloween and all that.
Coming
on,
we're focused on the
Thanksgiving.
I mean, we're fully Thanksgiving's just a bump in the road on the way to Christmas.
Well, right now, as these people are listening, it is the holiday season, is it not?
Tis indeed.
Yes.
That's apostrophe tis. Yeah. Yes.
I busted out a tis, therefore it is.
Is it apostrophe?
Or is it apostrophe is?
T. Yeah, I think it's apostrophe T apostrophe is.
Apostrophe T apostrophe is?
No.
It's because the apostrophe stands for a missing letter.
Correct.
And tis is it is. So tis, is it? No, you're right.
I was actually correct.
Words that have two apostrophes in them in the history of English.
What they've done is they've dropped the I, they've crammed together the T and the I and the S. You put the apostrophe ahead of the capital T, and you got your tiz.
Yeah.
There are at least 30 NFL players with two apostrophes in there.
Names are technically aren't words.
In Bricketon de Markaberg or whatever. Yeah,
I think there is an actual NFL player named Apostrophe, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it's Tiz Apostrophe.
the Key and Peele bit about NFL names is sublime.
Give yourself
5 minutes to go and watch. Press pause and go watch that and then come back.
Yeah, there's tons of them, actually. That was so popular, they did several of those. So.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't NFL names, was it? It was the East-West
college football. Yeah.
College.
But then
names.
They did bring actual NFL players to come in and read their actual real names at one point in time. Like they would have a bunch of makeup names, and then they'd have like an actual NFL player with some crazy long name read his name.
DeBrickishaw Ferguson. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's great. We talked about that before. How I knew where that name came from.
DeBrickishaw?
DeBrickishaw Ferguson, yeah. You know, at first you would think, and as not making light of this at all, many of the names of African Americans, I think, from my dim-witted knowledge of and viewpoint of these things, is they deviate from traditional, Anglo-Saxon names to, in some small way, reclaim you know, an African heritage, right, and come up with something that's original, because many of their ancestors, you know, matriculated through slavery and were given names of their masters and so forth. So in coming up with these names that are uncommon, it's a way of, you know, reclaiming or establishing for the first time some sort of a sense of heritage. So I understand all of that and have great respect for all of that. But when I heard the name DeBrickashaw Ferguson for the first time, I'm like, I think I know what DeBrickashaw comes from. And I think it came from the Thornbirds, Father DeBrickashaw. Yeah.
This up.
And what's great is we were, you know, at our fantasy football draft and somebody said, DeBrickashaw, I've never heard that before. I said, you know where I think that's from? And they said, you're full of shit. Sure enough, I look it up. And he said, my parents were big fans of the miniseries, The Thornbirds. So I got, you know, Father, you know, Paul DeBrickashaw.
He didn't look it up to find himself being right on this show. But as soon as someone called him a dumbass on his fantasy football league, he jumped on the computer and was like, I'm definitely going to prove him wrong now. But when he brings it up with us, he doesn't give a shit.
No. He'll just flap his gums just about any old thing here. It sound like it's somewhere close to fact, no matter how far off
as
it may
long
be.
As it sounds like fact, then that's all that matters, right?
Mm-hmm. Like that's why Andy's such a big Trump fan. So
That's right. That's one of the cornerstones of good debate, isn't it? If you can say it and people don't question it.
Hey, then here's the deal. If you say it and you believe it, it's not lying. Right? If you believe what you're saying, then you're not a liar.
And you have no idea that you're completely wrong.
Yeah,
you're not a liar.
Wait, you expect me to fact check myself?
That's not my job.
I remember Bill Belichick one time, you know, the Patriots coach, when the Colts were getting ready to go play there and people were bitching about what bad condition the Foxborough field was in, just divots and stuff. And he said, hey, it ain't my job to go pull weeds. It was just an asshole thing to say.
He is a giant asshole.
You break your ankle? Hey, it's football. What are you going to do?
I got something big going on after this podcast.
You do?
Yeah. I'm going to go get a new grill.
Wait a minute, it's the season.
I know.
After all, for you yinzers, it's always never the same.
There is no barbecue season. That's like
he's firmly established that. Yeah.
What was the quote? We go back. It was talking about when does grilling season begin for you, Josh? And he's like, grilling season? What are you talking about? It's like putting away the TV. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly. There's no grill. It's like, what?
It's a year-round thing. Well, I need to understand what's happened here. You are a Weber barbecue grill kind of guy, right?
Gas grill. Gas grill.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, but you've been barbecue. You've been charcoal up until now.
No, I've always been gas grill. I've never owned a charcoal grill. I've used them.
I didn't realize
I've used them, but I've never owned a charcoal grill.
Wow. Okay. So you have a propane grill there at home. You're going to get a new one today.
Yeah, as soon as I get off this podcast, I already got my eyeball set on one.
I'm going to guess right at the beginning of November, you're going to have the pick of the litter.
That's what the whole idea was. Actually, Cindy even brought it up because I went from a four burner grill that when we moved in here, and it was just, remember Owen was wee little, so we weren't really grilling much stuff for him, but it seemed like it was just way too big for what I needed it for. Right. So we got rid of that. And then I got a nice small two burner grill, which has been great. And I really like, but I realized afterwards there's things that I can't cook on that grill because it's not big enough to do indirect cooking. You know what I mean? You know,
right.
Because there's just, it's not strong enough, first of all, and it's not big enough because I can't do like a beer can chicken because there's not enough room to cook,
enough room to shove a beer can up a chicken's ass.
There's always plenty of room to shove a beer can up a chicken's ass, Andy. Huh. You just got to try. Yeah. But so I think I'm going back. I thought about a three burner. You know what? Here, I'm going to let you guys help me out with this. I thought about a three burner, right? And then I thought, but I don't think that solves the indirect cooking problem, does it?
Not, unless, I don't think so. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing the four burner just to give you the
space.
Expansive space. Yeah. And then that way you've got the ability to modulate. You got two burners going, then your indirect heat could be a little closer, a little further. You could, you know, adjust it accordingly, right, without having to, you know, mess with the the flame all the time.
That's the idea. I think I'm going to go back to a four burner. So it's going to be pretty exciting.
What are those things? The smoker tube. I'll find it here in just a second. We were up in Ojai and went to this place, restaurant. It was called The Nest, and right along the main drag there. And Lara has this salad. It was their kale Caesar salad, right? Which is, you know, a name that is used many places. But it was their kale Caesar salad, and it had smoked beets on it. Ooh. I'm like, I see that on the menu. I'm like, that's you right there. Smoked beets, kale Caesar. You love kale. You love beets. That's your business right there. And the more I look at it, I'm like, I'll be a son of a bitch. You know, I think that sounds good for me too.
Yeah, all beets vegan. Sounds awesome.
Smoked beets. Yeah. We order it. And I get it with a little tri-tip on top of it, which was pretty fucking good. And she eats that salad and says, that was the best salad I've ever had in my life. And so I said to her, you know what we could do? She goes, I wish I could have smoked beets all the time. Where do you get smoked beets? What's the story with smoked beets? And I said, what we need to do.
What's the story with smoked beets, damn it? Somebody answer me.
I said, what we need to do is we need to get one of those smoker tubes where you put the pellets in and you crank it down and you put that in your grill. Turns any grill into a smoker. I could get one of those and put it in the grill. Would you like for me to do that? And she said, yes, I would very much like for you to do that. So they've got this thing called Amazin. It's AMAZEN, Amazin smoker tube that they, I guess they have like at Home Depot and Lowe's and places like that. So I got to get one of those. And then I'm going to start smoking some beets.
Yeah. Well, just beets?
I don't want to brag. I don't know. What else do you smoke?
Well,
vegetarian. Oh.
Yeah,
vegetarian,
I mean, you
could
do, you know, the main entrees, but it's there are some things like I was at a restaurant, same kind of situation. They had a little charcuterie, you know, starter kind of thing, and they brought smoked grapes.
Ooh,
I was like, I don't know what this is going to be like. Oh, my God. Yeah. And it was just like, I've never had that flavor before, and it works. And I had that. I said, can you tell me what you guys do? And there's literally like a little contraption. They just kind of hang it above because they do other smoked meats and stuff there. So I tried that Thanksgiving last year with my brand new smoker when I smoked the big old turkey.
Yeah.
It was just a turkey breast, and so I used the little hook that actually came with the, you know, that gives you the option of hanging stuff to smoke it, and I did it for a while, and it wasn't as good as the restaurant. I think I just needed to leave it that much longer. I wasn't sure how long.
Well,
there's no recipe for it.
Well, there's also different ways to do it. Like I'm assuming like some of this, like cheese, you got to cold smoke it. You can't do hot.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's,
right,
that might be like the temperature difference might be a way. What are you doing? Why is your finger in your nose?
I was doing a pig nose. Sorry.
Why?
Go ahead.
Why? Why were you doing a pig nose? Because I was talking about smoked
like
Gouda.
It. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I don't even remember.
What's the connection?
Don't let me distract you. You were talking about how you can smoke different things. I had an idea while you were talking about that.
You can smoke all kinds of things.
Thanks for prattling on and making my brain come up with something. Because I was thinking, you know how in my house we got to do I could do a turkey. Lara wouldn't, you know, shit on me if I made a turkey. It's a vegetarian house otherwise, though. So it would be a big waste for me to do a big turkey just for me. I'd be the only one eating it. It's a huge waste. So I like tofurkey fine. You just made me think I could smoke a tofurkey.
Oh, that's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
That's going to be so bad.
Why?
No. Don't do that. Let them have their tofurkey. Get yourself just a nice, small
breast.
Turkey breast. Yeah. And smoke that. And then why
would smoked tofurkey be bad?
Because it's already terrible. Yeah, it's already terrible. I just don't think consistency wise it's going to work. I really don't.
I think it'll work.
All right.
I think it'll work.
Blech.
I think it would work.
Blech.
Yeah, you never tried it.
You're right.
You're shitting on something you've never tried.
I shit on a whole bunch of stuff I've never tried.
Let me ask you a question. It came up this week that I remembered as I was talking to somebody, had a meeting, a little Zoom meeting, and as I'm talking to them,
you made a piggy nose and they all started laughing.
They were talking about going to order food in a minute. And I'm like, oh my God, you just reminded me. I've been meaning to order a sandwich from the Lebanese restaurant that's just down at the end of the block.
I think I've been to that place. Is that the place that's Hyatt's, in the corner?
Yeah.
Is it in the corner?
Yeah,
that place is great.
I know. And so I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down there and I'm going to get myself a sojuk sandwich. I'm going to get this spicy sausage, Lebanese sausage sandwich. I'm going to go get this thing today and I'm going to fucking eat the shit out of it. It's going to be great.
Okay.
And the other guy says, he sends me a message and he's a text message or whatever. It says, here's the sandwich that I've been craving. And he sends me this
sandwich
advertisement, this link to this place over in West LA. And a couple of the things they've got on their menu are tongue sandwiches.
I've had tongue.
And brain sandwiches.
I've had brains.
Yeah.
Do you like calves brains?
I've had calves brains, and I do not like calves brains.
I don't even
calves
like the idea.
Calves taste exactly how you think they would taste. Like soft tofu and pennies. there's an irony, coppery, soft tofu, mushy flavor to it. It tastes exactly like what you think a brain would taste like.
Is that where the term penny for your thoughts came from?
I had fried calves brains, and it's the consistency is exactly like you'd think. It's like a really stiff pate that you can see the lines where like the brain lines are on. It's no joke. It's very rare that there's things that I don't like to eat, and brains is one of them.
I would. I would. You are what you eat. I would vomit if I had to eat calf's brain.
I want to try Rocky Mountain oysters.
Do you?
Yeah. You really do?
I want to try one. Yeah. I'm into trying new stuff at least once. That's why I tried the brains. I hated it. I'll never get it again, but I'm glad I tried it. I want to try.
You ever had frog's legs?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Tastes like.
And did you like it?
It tastes
like chicken?
It tastes like chicken that was dipped in pond water. That's exactly what it tastes like.
Did you eat one right out of the pond?
No, because it literally tastes like chicken that was fried and then someone just dipped it in a pond and then handed it to you.
it tastes like a jumpy chicken.
It's like freshwater chicken.
Don't care for it.
Yeah,
it
was like okay.
It's like I tried a little brain a little head cheese when I was little.
I haven't had that either.
Just a little bit of it. A bite of my parents. It's something I can't deal with. And what's the other? Oh, like even stuff like Braunschweiger and stuff. It's just.
It. How do you guys feel about liver?
It's disgusting.
It's just gotten a little too strong for me. I eat so little meat these days that anything that edges into gamey is just too much.
I've had kidneys really good. I've had kidney. That's super good.
Organ meat is just a little bit too. It's a bridge too far for
me. Depends on which.
And I got to be honest. I'm getting close. I'm getting closer and closer by the day, of wanting to just get rid of all the meat and.
Well,
and
you're
just
practically
go.
There, aren't you?
I'm practically. Well, here's the. You know what's holding me back?
That Lebanese place down the street sounds like it.
Yeah, it's pigs.
Yeah,
it's fucking sausage and bacon.
I rarely eat it now, and I've found that I don't miss it. I think that even at this point, it's like a steak almost turns me off now. If I crave any meat, it's usually a burger, and then by the time I get to the burger place, it's like, you know what? I'll just have the turkey version because it's just condiments all over the thing. Unless it's like great, great meat, but like a veggie burger, a good veggie burger. I'm kind of at that point too.
I don't think I can go 2 days without eating some type of meat. And I'm not talking fish. Like you can give me fish for 2 days and I'd still be like, I would start having like cold sweats and like I wouldn't be able to sleep and I'd get the DTs. I'd get like the the meat.
You get the meaties?
Get this man a meat drip stat.
Yeah, no, I need meat. I love me some meat. I love all the meats.
I need meat. It makes me a jolly good fellow.
So you think the pig is the most important of all the meats?
Most important. Yeah. I think it's the most delicious. Then
you think that if you had to get rid of all the animals that you ate and you could keep one, you would go with a pig.
Go with the pig.
Yeah, probably.
Because you get ham, bacon, sausage.
Oh yeah. I mean, you get a wider variety
pork roast.
Yeah, tenderloin.
Have you read pig ear?
No,
it's good. It's like,
was that the things that they fry and oh no, I'm thinking of pork rinds.
It's kind of like a pork rind though. It's have you ever had? I had a pickled
pig's feet.
No, I haven't. I've seen them. I almost bought them for us to me and Andy to try one time, but then the pandemic happened.
Yeah, those are gross.
I'd try it though. Have you had them?
Yeah, those are gross.
What do they have
to pickle something that disgusting to try and make it not taste like the thing that it is, then why do that?
Here's the problem with pig's feet is not only is it pig and it's a foot, but it's a pig's foot, which has been tramping in shit its entire life. So like, I don't think you could. The only way to disinfect that would be with like a nuclear warhead. Like,
well, that's why they got that thing pickled. It's just like let's try and kill off everything.
Let's put it in a strong base for months and see if you can't kill that stuff. And that's what they basically embalm it.
Well, why is like the water all pink and weird looking?
By the way, if you go to Whole Foods. Uh-huh. They've got a case at Whole Foods just of the disgusting shit. Like you can buy chicken claws.
Yeah,
I've seen that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You can buy just the chicken feet. So and I guess what you feed those to your dog or some shit,
no,
or do you make soup out of
them.
It?
People eat them.
Really?
Yeah. I try it, but I don't like crave it. I don't know how to cook it. I wouldn't know what to
do. I'm so far away from that. It's 20 years ago. I remember going to Roscoe's and getting an order of chicken livers. Yeah, livers or gizzards or whatever it was.
Yeah, I grew up with that. We had those all the time.
Yeah. You can go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and get
They would sell Kentucky them at fast food places. You bet.
You could get Kentucky Fried Chicken gizzards, and I thought they were pretty fucking good as a kid.
Yeah.
But now
it was because we didn't know what they were. We were just popping them in our mouth like, wow, that's good. That's deep fried. That's great.
Hey, fellas, we got some phone calls.
Do we?
Yeah. Do you want to hear them?
You keep asking us that.
Yeah. Meh. Yeah.
Next time, just start playing them.
I mean, if we shut it down, would you be upset?
Our phone number is area code 626-657-6428. It's at 626-657-6428. And we had teams of linguists, cunning linguists, sit down and figure out what mnemonic device might come from that particular array of numbers. And you know what they came up with?
No.
Neither do I. But I came up with one called, what is it?
Trick or treat.
PM hat.
Oh, a muck. PM hat. Such a good mnemonic device. I almost forgot it after 4 years. We got one here. Let's see. From the 971 area code. Let's see what this one is about.
Hey, Yaffers. This is Peter over in Northern California. I was listening to Warren Zevon, the song Excitable Boy. And I thought, man, this is a really upbeat, poppy song, and it's just about the darkest thing you can think of. And I was wondering what your guys' favorite fun, upbeat, poppy songs that are truly, truly terrifying subjects. Anyway, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Looking forward to the next show. Have a good one. Bye.
That's a good question.
Well, that's a really good question. I'd have to think about that one for a bit because I know I have some.
Right off the bat, I would just say maybe like Psycho Killer. That's like an upbeat, kind of dark, twisted song, but it's still kind of like upbeat, toe tapping. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Every Breath You Take by The Police.
Right.
That's certainly the most cheerful song about stalking I've ever heard.
And the one I love by R.E.M., which is not a love song.
I feel like
there's several like Neil Finn Crowded House songs that are just delightful, melodic, but also with a dark undertone. And
yes, Mean to Me off that first album is a good example. But I remember, and I think I mentioned this before, I had Warren Zevon in the studio, Channel 103 one day, like 1999, or it was 2000, I guess. He was getting ready to go to be on Letterman, like that next day,
that was
Letterman,
where he got the full show, right?
Yeah, had his quintuple bypass or whatever. Anywho, I was talking to him about these songs. I'm like, some of these songs, bless you, are just incredibly dark. You know, do you fancy yourself a dark person? Do you think that you're have a macabre mind? And he said, no, I just put the stuff into a song and then it's your problem. that's amazing. But he's right. That song, Peter's right. So good. It's the rhythm section. I believe it's as well as on Werewolves of London. I believe it's Fleetwood Mac. It's Mick Fleetwood and John McVie on that one as well. But I know that it's Linda Ronstadt singing background on it, the ooh-ah-oohs on Excitable Boy. It's just a great song.
Yeah, that whole album is, if you look at the liner notes, because Zevon was the ultimate songwriter. It's like he never really achieved mainstream success. He's got one song that's considered a freaking Halloween song, which it really isn't. But everybody in that era, all those people were always working on his albums. That same record, Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner, that's a pretty...
It's a good Halloween album. It really is.
Yeah.
And this, Excitable Boy, he dug up her grave and built a cage with her bones.
Yeah.
Excitable Boy, they all said. Larry, we've got
that
one
makes
more.
Me think of another one. Only a Lad by Oingo Boingo is kind of the same thing.
Yeah, very much.
Hey, wait, real quick. Larry, I was listening to KLOS this week. And who are the Afternoon Drive guys? Is it Sluggo? Is it Sluggo and Bean?
Oh, it's Sluggo and Kevin from Kevin and Bean.
Did they play
Halloween Spooks?
One of them started bitching about it because he didn't like it. He said he had to hear it every year and he didn't know why. But they started to play it. They started to play it. And I was like, sure enough, there they did. They played it.
Yeah, it's Kevin hated it because that was Bean brought it to the Kevin and Bean show.
Okay.
And it became a tradition. So obviously Sluggo brought it in. I still have it on hand, too, just in case. Yeah, but we're past that.
We gotta get
over it.
But by the way, one more fun thing I was hearing about Halloween, even though it's long since passed. Wink, wink. It's not tomorrow night. No. It's long time ago.
Because 'tis the season now.
Yeah. Indeed.
No, 'twas the season. Anyway, I was talking about Silas is 11, and I told you he's going as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, but he had a little bit of trepidation of, am I getting too big for this? And we're like, no, I mean, you could do this till you're 12, 13, 14. And Laura was even saying, I'd rather have, 17-year-old kids showing up on my front step with a pillowcase for candy than, out, doing less desirable things. And that's a great point.
Then out back but, in the octagon. Go ahead.
That's right. One of my coworkers was telling me about someone that they knew. The boy was like 15, 16 years old, and he really loved Halloween and he wanted to go out, but he felt like it had finally come time that he couldn't, dress up in a costume anymore. So here's what he did. He dressed up in a costume. He wore a suit and he had business cards made up, and he went around as Nick Fury recruiting all of the superheroes that he saw. If any kid was wearing a Spider-Man, he would go up and say, here, I'd like you to join S.H.I.E.L.D. and give them a card. And he went around trick-or-treating as that. I thought that was brilliant.
That is great.
Very good.
Pretty slick. Larry, for this one, we're going to need a little intro. Do you mind?
Yeah, not at all. Low energy bike.
Low energy bike. Hey, yappers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. This week has been quite a mixture of projects, starting with digging up a water leak in a cattle pen, then on to installing 120 feet of 18-inch black plastic cover in the irrigation ditch that runs through the customer's front yard. Now they won't have to worry about falling in the ditch from mowing. Then we add the yard out big slabs of concrete that had been cut in the basement for some big-ass egress windows. Then we did a nice little driveway expansion and renew with gravel that Thursday and Friday and Saturday, building bike trails. This trail is being built from an old logging spur that is fairly steep, just about the perfect pitch to build features on. The first day was in fairly rocky ground. My skeleton bucket comes in really handy in this type of soil. This bucket is full of holes. You can see a picture of it from my Instagram. Friday was only a half day as we got rained out. Saturday, we have a bunch of volunteers lined up. It's going to be a good day for a ditch digging man.
There we go.
Talk to you later.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Hey, you know, it's like, it's one.
Hold on. That was low energy, Mike.
One of the good things about not living in the woods is worrying about falling in a ditch while you're mowing your grass. And us city folk, we take that for granted. But that's a good thing. That's one of the good things about living in cities. You don't have to worry about falling in a ditch when you're mowing your grass.
Yeah, it's rare. You're right.
Do we have this conversation? I thought we had this conversation before. I remember being down, like driving into Louisville, Kentucky, and driving down the main streets there. And it's so hilly that front yards, the houses would be up there, and the front yards were sloped like 45 degrees. And in order to cut the grass, I saw people with ropes.
That's what I had to do.
You did that too, right? Yeah. That's what I thought.
But remember, I told you how I got gasoline on my balls that one time. It's true. I had to use a special mower that required a mixture of oil and gas, and I had to put it in one of those.
A lawn boy, right?
I don't know. It was green, but I had a special rope, and I'd put my baseball cleats on, and I would have to pull a lawnmower up and down the side of the hill just to cut it. And I just put gas on my nuts.
We had an old lawn boy. I remember it well. That smell of the two-stroke with the oil in it.
Yeah.
The green. It was green oil, as I remember, green or blue. That he poured into the.
Yep. Yeah. And that's is just coming right up in your face. You're just inhaling big old gulps of that the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how I got lymphoma. Larry, was there anything in the by the way, that was the YAF line. And once again, if you want to call it with anything that's on your mind, you can call 626-657-6428 or PM hat. Larry, was there anything in the YAF sack email that might be of interest? And of course, everybody knows by now that's yourartificialfriends@gmail.com.
Nope.
Okay, moving on.
There is a note from Ryan from last week who gave us a place that we could potentially do a beer episode. He suggested the Alley in Moore Park operates as a beer and wine garden for Innergrin Brewery and Lucas Sellers Winery. And he sent me a link to that. So He's a short, he says, short hop from the 170-118 from NoHo. So
I'm telling you, you know, we just went down to dear friends were in town last weekend from they live up north by Tahoe, and they were here staying with us for a few days. And on the way out, they told all of their L.A. friends to meet up at Golden Road Brewery. You know, if you've ever been out there,
Glendale?
That's nice. Yeah, it has a nice outdoor area for dogs. The dogs are welcome. Even kids are welcome. And as long as you keep them on a leash.
Turds too.
You got to keep them on a leash. Yeah, give them a bowl. But it's you know, it's a fun kind of place, a big sprawling place, just a big, you know, airplane hangar, basically. And
right
and
by the train tracks.
Right by the train tracks. Yeah, you hear the train go by every now and then. But I was just thinking, man, to take this on the road and do this this year podcast from a different brewery around Southern California every week.
With a few day beers in you?
Just get paid in beer. Yeah, basically. That's no way to live, but
just,
it sounds like
it'd be start fun. At like 11 a.m. and record six straight podcasts until we can't talk anymore.
Just get faster and faster with our reflexes like Dr. Johnny Fever. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, hey, fellas.
Well, let me mention real quick here, Andy, before we wrap things up. If you would like to drop us a note, yourartificialfriends@gmail.com is the email address. Feel free to reach out if you want to pass along anything, have any thoughts, have any responses, have any random pictures you want to send along. Be happy to hear
send
from
Andy ideas to smoke. Smoked veggie ideas. I bet you a smoked onion would be good.
Ooh,
right? Smoking onion, yeah. Put that on a burger.
So let me ask a quick question here before we tie things up. Oh, by the way, I'm Andy Chanley. That's Josh Fligger. That's Larry Morgan. Sam Farmer's on assignment. Just getting it in under the wire. Out of curiosity, let's say I'm a noob at this. I've never done it before. And I bought my amazing smoker tube. I'm ready to go, right? I've got the grill turned on. I got the smoking pellets in the tube, and it's in there, and it's starting to get smoky. I have a couple of beets, and I want to proceed to smoke them. How do I prepare them for that? Do I just throw the beets in there, and it goes permeates the skin, or do I have to chop it in and clean it, and then put
I would slice. I wouldn't do the whole beet. I think I would slice it in like, you know, maybe like
thin slices.
Half inch, well, not too thin, but maybe like half inch slices. I don't know, because you want more. The more surface area, the more the smoke it's going to absorb. So if you just throw the whole beet in, it's just going to be the outside, and the inside's not
dry. I'm just afraid that beets cut up like that, left in cook. Any kind of heat, is going to just, they're just going to get all cooked and shriveled up. Yeah. Whereas I think if you keep the skin, I mean, you'd probably want to smoke them similarly to the way you'd want to cook them, which would, you know, be roasted. So I would think maybe you wouldn't want to put them in foil, but maybe leave them, I don't know.
Leave them in the husk. Yeah. And just throw it in. And I'd like for smoking, I'd have it like a, you know, 180 degrees for 6, 7, 8 hours, right?
That's a long time. Yeah.
I've never smoked any. My wife doesn't like smoke stuff, so I can't venture down that road. You can tell.
Yeah, I bet your neighbors
are pretty happy about it, can't you?
All right. I'm seeing a recipe here that basically literally has you wrap it in foil. With you could actually include some, you know, garnishy type herbs and stuff to additional flavoring like rosemary and things like that.
Is it the whole beet?
The whole beet. Okay. Wrap it in foil. Poke holes in the foil in order for the smoke to permeate, and then it says 30 to 40 minutes on that.
Hmm.
In your exhaust of your car and drive around for 30 minutes.
Then you'll have to peel the skin off afterward and all that stuff.
I buried the lead, guys. This morning I replaced the engine air filter and the cabin air filter on my Prius. Easy peasy. Saved myself $100-$150.
Hold on, Josh. You think that is the lead? that you buried? You think that should have been moved to the top of the show?
That was what you were going to kick off the show
genuinely with. You think that should have been the first topic? All right.
Well, that should be illustrative of exactly how much attention we put into the show.
I almost want him to play the theme, and then we do that. Like, I want to hear him start off the show about his the air filters in his car. You know
how excited he would be about that. I mean, he started the show that way before. Led to shed talk and all sorts of other crap.
This will be the end of the program. Larry, first tell us how we can get a hold of you.
You can find me on Instagram at @TheLarryMorgan, and I also want to add, he referenced it in his phone call. We haven't mentioned this in a while, but Low Energy Mike does have his own Instagram at Low Energy Mike. Check it out.
Yeah, go see it. What about you, Josh?
No, you know, whatever. JoshuaJFligger@gmail.com.
That's FLEEGER.
FLEEGER. And then there's
Andy Chanley on Instagram. I'm DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook and Andy_Chanley on Twitter. All right, so here's what we're going to do. This is actually going to be the end of the podcast, but we're going to do it like this is the beginning of the podcast, and I'm going to lead off with the most momentous
and just to show people what they potentially could have missed.
Yeah, so everybody just imagine this is the very beginning of a brand new episode. Yeah.
This is how it could have been.
And then when we're done, you people can just continue the podcast in your head and just imagine the wackiness that ensued.
So,
how you doing, fellas?
Well, hold on.
Okay.
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships send, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, what's up? Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
good to see you. I got to tell you guys, before we get into anything else, something pretty crazy happened this morning.
Good, because I don't think we really have much to talk about, but go
ahead. I got nothing, so I'm glad you got something.
Well, are you sitting down?
Yeah, go for it.
Sure.
I went to the dealership to have my car serviced not long ago, and they said we could replace your air filter in the engine and also in the cabin. We could do that for $199.
Oh, that's malarkey.
I know. That's what I
said.
That's a lot. So I went online. I found both of those items for like $44. Guess what I did this morning? I put them both in myself. Easy peasy. Saved $150.
Okay. Can you run out front and check that tombstone for me real quick and see what... Can you go ahead and, do you have a tombstone out front?
Hey, I got a poop story about my dog. Do you guys want to hear that?
Hold, please. And that's where it ends. That's where it ends.
End scene.
See you guys next
time.
Bye-bye.